Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm Chris Broad and we're joined by top London radio DJ, Japanophile, and now birthday boy, Pete Ronald McDonaldson.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for giving me a birthday bump, so to speak. Yeah, I had a nice time. You're also a Taurus, though, aren't you? You're also an April birthday boy.
I am a Taurus. Yes, I didn't know that. I didn't know our birthdays were 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
I saw on Facebook it was your birthday. Like most people, I don't actually know the date of your birthday.
2 weeks and
club.
Several years. Did you have a nice birthday? What do you do? What does a Japanese boy birthday look like?
It looks like me sitting in a bar alone with my toy cat, and just sitting drinking slowly, looking at the table and just wondering why. No, it was a good birthday, actually. I met up with some friends, and I told you I bought the desk, and
right, okay.
More recently...
Was that a little birthday present to yourself, desk?
It was a birthday present to myself, yes. I remember years ago I'd get excited about Buzz Lightyear for my birthday, or Nintendo 64s and PlayStations, and now a desk. It's come to that. That's when you know you're an adult, right? You get excited by a bloody desk. But I've topped it off this week by buying myself a swanky chair to go with it.
What?
So now I'm sorted, mate. The only problem is I've very stupidly put the chair and the desk on a tatami room mat. So, you know, tatami mat.
Yeah.
The kind of very delicate, fragile material. And my wheels of my chair have just torn it up to pieces.
Oh, no.
Very stupidly. So now I've got to invest in a carpet. So I knew this would happen. I knew I'd get a desk and it would lead to a domino effect of having to buy lots and lots of additional things.
Your house is going to be rubble
for your birthday?
What do I get for my birthday? well, I've not seen many people since I've had my birthday, because I was on holiday for about 10 days and I just got back on my birthday. Started in Denver, went down through Colorado Springs, Boulder, and down through New Mexico, Taos. Oh. Went to Taos, weird little art collective, sort of Mexican town. And then across to sort of San Antonio, then out of Austin. But man, I love that part of the world.
Yeah, I've been meaning to go around there myself. If I could drive around one part of America, it would be there. I'd live in Seattle and I would holiday around New Mexico and Colorado.
Definitely live in...
You lucky devil.
I would definitely live in some... I really liked Colorado Springs. What a beautiful part of the world. These beautiful, massive mountains, and it's just like a little city. Very interesting. Very interesting.
And yet, it's not your only holiday this year, is it?
It's not my only holiday this year.
You've already had a holiday as well. You've already just come back from Italy. To America.
I like doing holidays,
and now you're planning your next holiday.
It's what I live for, mate. I'm starting a new podcast, Abroad in Italy. I'm doing a podcast where I talk to an Italian
Another
man.
Another addition to the empire.
Yeah. I will be coming back to Japan in October. That is booked. But to be honest, Chris, and this will come into the subject of the show, I've not got plans. I've not got a distinct plan on what to do, because obviously I've done bits and bobs, but I've not...
You've done the Golden Route.
I've done the Golden Route, which is that Osaka, Kyoto?
Yeah, the one we talked about, Tokyo, yeah. Kyoto, Osaka. You've seen all the kind of standard stuff.
Yeah.
And you've even ventured north a little bit. I've shown you around, haven't I? We did the 2 weeks, what was it called? 2 weeks in Japan podcast a few weeks ago. It went down really well. And soon after, I got hit by a wave of comments and emails of people asking for the next 2 weeks in Japan,
what
you would do if you come back again. And so That's what we're going to touch on today. So not only are we going to hopefully get together some sort of itinerary for your next trip, but help people who want to come to Japan dive into a more wild part, a more kind of adventurous part of Japan. For my money, anyway.
Does this mean that my next trip is tax deductible? I think it is. If the tax man's listening,
that's your whole plan behind this podcast.
I definitely talk to a man who lives in Japan every week. Tax deductible, certainly. Fantastic.
You're making me even more cynical than I am now.
And you're a man.
David Irving's joking, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's actually being. Yeah, but I gave you the platinum route when you came last year,
Chris. That sounds so filthy. I gave you the diamond route. Good Lord.
The gold-plated diamond route. You've done it. But we're not going to talk about that today because that requires a car. And for the diamond route, the route north, I think most people aren't going to have a car. So the route that I've devised, the plan that we've come up with today, is a route where you could just use your Japan Rail Pass and kind of wing it and don't need to rent a car. We'll come to the car one later on down the line.
Mm.
Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Since I can't drive, that's my only option.
Wait, you can't drive?
No, I've never needed to.
How do I not know that?
I've always lived in London. We did a whole road trip through Colorado Springs and all that, and there was one person driving. And I went to Walmart, and I bought these letters, these plastic letters that said the word fart, and I stuck it on the back of the car, unbeknownst to the driver. And then at one point, he just realised that he'd been driving around for about 1,000 miles with the word fart written on the back
of
his car.
You are the worst kind of passenger.
The very best kind of passenger.
Fantastic display of British humour there, isn't it? But I didn't know that. I didn't know you can drive.
No.
You'd be pretty useless in a zombie outbreak by running into a car.
No, because
Pete, start the engine, start the engine. I can't drive.
I could start the engine. I could run over a few zombies. I've had a few lessons. But what I would say is, Chris, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I reckon petrol would be at a premium and it would be very difficult to find enough petrol to get around after a while. So I'd be dead within days anyway because I won't be able to get my asthma medication. I'm a shambles, Chris.
Yes, you are. Mm. Thoroughly useless. Right, so today I've been working on a map all day. I've been slaving away with my laptop on a map, on a plan for this trip. So I'm going to be reading off my map. And if anyone, to those of you listening, you can actually access this map. We've put it on iTunes and anywhere you find this podcast in the description. Mm. It'll be there. You can click on it and we'll have the itinerary and a map of Japan with all the spots on it and locations. And all those places I've chosen are actually places from my videos because I realised the diamond route is basically just my channel, which is a very clever marketing plan that I didn't even realise I was doing the whole time. But yeah, all the videos that I've made generally over the last 2 or 3 years have been North Japan, the kind of the opposite direction to the gold route. So a lot of the places on this list, you can actually see them in my videos. It's very clever, that, isn't it? There's a tourism website waiting to be exploited right there.
I'm doing the hand motion. I'm doing the hand motion for synergy.
I'm doing the hand motion for money. Right, so let's dive in. Talk about some places, and you could decide if you want to go there or not when you come to Japan, Mr. Ronald McDonaldson.
Sounds good to me.
Right, so when you get to Japan, I've said the same. Say you arrive on the first day, the first place I reckon you should drop into is Ueno in Tokyo. Cheap accommodation. I brought this up before. It's cheap, it's accessible from the airport, and best of all, it's where the bullet train is to go up to North Japan.
Yes.
Now, the diamond route, there's some debate over where the diamond route is. There's a series of videos that came out recently that are beautiful. Just type in diamond route Japan into anything, particularly YouTube, and you'll see these swanky, stylish videos where no expense has been spared. And they look beautiful. They're designed to make you want to go to North Japan. Only thing is, though, they're not really North Japan. The three videos are in Fukushima, Tochigi, and Ibaraki, which are kind of just north of Tokyo.
Yeah, that's
whereas
just
this trip,
there's a lot more
as far afield as I'd hoped.
As we've discussed, Japan, or as I've discussed, Japan is a big sausage, and that is but half of the sausage.
Another sausage analogy. I don't think 1 week has gone past without the word sausage appearing in some sort of analogy.
As well it shouldn't. That's what I think. As well it shouldn't.
But my plan, this diamond route, basically involves you going kind of far north, up into Tohoku, across the Tsugaru Strait, across Honshu and into Hokkaido, and then flying back from Sapporo into Tokyo. It makes sense to do that. Or you can get the bullet train now. There's actually a bullet train that goes all the way from Hokkaido down to Tokyo. But anyway, it's kind of a big loop around.
Because that hasn't always been the case, has it? Because that's quite a recent development, isn't it? Having a bullet train.
It is, yeah. There's always been there's been a tunnel that goes to Hokkaido for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
Big cargo tunnel. But they've actually stuck a bullet train down there now.
Yeah.
And you can get to Hakodate in, I think, 3.5 hours from Tokyo, which
that's
is remarkable speed, yeah.
Yeah, because
but if you're going to Sapporo, you're better off flying. So.
Yeah, because I flew to Sapporo and it was a fair old whack. It was a good hour and a half, 2 hours. I seem to recall. I can't really remember, to be honest.
Do you know that route's actually? I think it's the busiest flight path in the world.
Is it really? Why is that then?
Yeah, because a lot of people. Well, because Hokkaido is reasonably populated, and it's just the quickest way to get to Tokyo, right?
Ah.
So people, yeah, and a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
A lot of people do it. So, yeah, it's really busy. And it's really cheap. So I recommend doing that. So we go all the way up through Japan and then do a flight back to from Sapporo to Tokyo.
Mm.
And the first destination on my hit list, and there's about five or six cities here, is Sendai, where I live. Now, you've been to Sendai, Pete, for about 45 seconds. What was your impression of Sendai?
I was waiting for you because you had to finish some work and because you're a very busy man. And I sat on my case and I ate...
Like Paddington the Bear.
Paddington the Bear. Paddington the Bear is definitely not his name.
Is that what he does?
Yeah. I sat and
sitting
I ate
his marmalade outside Sendai.
Yeah, I ate a coolish, my favourite ice cream, and ate some fried chicken from the 7-Eleven and had a lovely time. Man. It seems like a really buzzy, busy city sort of thing.
Yeah, when you come out of Sendai Station, it does feel like things are happening. Like you come out on this big walkway, there's a few skyscrapers, there's mountains in the distance, and it's kind of a bustling city. Only thing I'll say about Sendai is there isn't a whole lot in the city itself. Sendai is more of a good jumping-off point to other more impressive, amazing things within Miyagi Prefecture and Yamagata as well. And one of the things on my list, the first thing we took you to, was, of course, Fox Village.
Yes, that was my first taste of...
That wasn't even planned.
No, it was my first taste of Chris Broad and foxes in Japan, so there we go. And it was very interesting. I mean, it was kind of like a... Imagine getting off a plane, bit jet lag, bit sleepy, and then just being covered in foxes. Very exciting, very strange. No. I'm sure you've seen videos about it. I'm sure you've seen Chris's video about Fox Village, but well worth a bit of a shufty. But it is a little bit out of the way, isn't it?
It is. Now, yeah, I mean, Fox Village is in a place called Zao, and Zao is a little... town that I actually recommend visiting. There's all sorts of cool stuff there. There's a cheese shop that does some nice local cheese. I think I actually took you there.
Fox
Pete.
Cheese.
Did I? I think I took you to there's no foxes in it, thankfully. But there is, some nice cheese.
Huh.
And we went to a pork burger restaurant. And there's a really great omurice restaurant that does omelette rice, which is rice with an omelette on.
Okay.
Which is a Japanese dish that actually works quite well. But there's all sorts of nice things in the Zao area, and Fox Village is the biggest draw. Surprisingly, Fox Village is one of the biggest, or perhaps unsurprisingly, Fox Village is one of the biggest tourist attractions in all of Tohoku now, because of all the vloggers and bloggers that visited it, and just because there's loads of foxes.
In fact,
we got a question, we got a message from someone called Pete Rogers the other day.
All right, Pete.
And he had a go at me for not featuring Fox Village in the previous 2 weeks in Japan podcast. He says, Chris, how? How can you list off a two-week Japan itinerary and not include Fox Village? Thanks to your videos, I discovered it existed, and I even proposed to my fiancé there. Great podcast, Pete Rogers, London. He got married. That's where he proposed, Fox
That's
Village.
Amazing. Well done, Pete Rogers, London, UK. I think
that's... Sea of foxes.
It's risky, though, isn't it? What if one of the foxes think that you're talking to one of them? And then you might be married, bound for life. Ride till I die. Foxes. You could be married to a fox, that's all I'm saying. Very risky.
There's a point, sometimes you have a conversation with Pete and you just don't know what to say when you reply. Mm. This is one of those points where I don't know how to really
go
reply
to
this.
Go to Fox Village, but if you're going to propose, step outside, because if you marry a fox, who knows what the rest of your life is going to be like. That's all I'm saying.
Note to self, feed Pete to the foxes next time. I wouldn't say it's a great place to propose. Don't think I'd go there for it. But well done, Pete Rogers. Congratulations.
Pete Rogers.
And now I've redeemed myself by featuring it in this itinerary. Sendai, great jumping off point. You've got Zao Fox Village. You've also got Cat Island.
Cat Island.
Another very popular place. Yes. You know about Cat Island?
I've heard about Cat, because I've been at Rabbit Island down in the south, but I've not been to Cat Island, which would, I mean, for me, it'd be a terrible move because I am highly allergic to cats. It's just a similar sort of thing, isn't it? Island covered in cats, and no one seems to know why. Or maybe people do.
Well, apparently there was rats there, and they want to get rid of the rats because they were eating the silkworms. And the island's economy used to be dominated by
silk.
So they got the cats in to kill the rats, and they loved the cats so much they built a shrine and let the cats breed forever and just take over the island. And now the island has 200 cats and about 50 people on it. So the cats are kind of taken over, had a coup, and actually taken over the island.
It's like the film Isle of Dogs, which I believe you've still not seen, Chris.
Don't rub it in. It's not even out here. You've watched it like 2 months ago and it's still not out here.
Come on.
God damn it. Damn you films in Japan. Cat Island, I actually quite like it. It's quite a nice little island. Mm. Cats aside, and they are quite cute just running around. I think you could get by without your... I've got a cat allergy as well.
And
it didn't affect me there. Just don't touch cats. You'll be fine.
Don't touch cats.
But it's quite a spectacle. You know, you go on this little boat that goes through some fog, and there's always fog around the island. I don't know why. It's like an hour-long boat ride. You come through this fog, and it's a bit like Jurassic Park, but slightly more disappointing. And the boat arrives, you get off it, and there's like a sea of cats like run towards the boat because they think, food's arrived! And it's just really surreal. There's no other way to describe it, really. It's just surreal.
They don't move in herds.
But it's a great place to just actually relax for the day. Only thing is, there's only like two or three boats. So if you go there, you really do have to make a day of it. You go on like the 9 a.m. boat and you come back on the 1 p.m. boat. That is a whole day kind of thing.
That's a good thing about Rabbit Island. There is regular boat service, I think every hour or every hour and a half, that you can sort of get back and forth.
Yes. And another good alternative is there is Yamadera, which is a beautiful temple, one of the most beautiful temples in all of North Japan, one of my favourite places. Mm. It's about a 50-minute train ride from Sendai.
Right.
And the best way to describe it is, have you seen Batman Begins?
I believe I have, yes.
Do you know that Bruce Wayne goes to this temple and like learns how to become Batman?
That's right, yes.
Up a mountain. That's what it's like. To me, that's what it feels like, because you have to climb up this mountain. It takes about 30 minutes, and you go through this big, tall forest, you climb up stairs, beautiful temple at the top, and it's just really, really relaxing. In winter, you've got all the snow, it's very beautiful. In summer, the green, like, leaves and all the valley. It's a very beautiful place, and I highly recommend it. I really do. I'd like to take you there. I wanted to take you there when you were here, but we didn't have enough time, unfortunately. We had to race back to Sendai to put you on the train back to Tokyo, if I recall. But I would recommend going there. It's one of my favourite temples in all of Japan. So that's another good place. And on the way there, there's also the Nikka Whiskey Distillery, which I visited a few months ago with my good friend Ryotaro, where you can try whiskey. Nikka whiskey.
Yes.
Black Nikka whiskey is what it's called. And it's a very fine whiskey indeed. And you can try it. You can try different varieties. And yes, and you go in there's a big warehouse. You can go in and see hundreds of barrels filled with whiskey that are kind of maturing there for like 12, 15 years. So that's really cool. So if you're into your whiskey, you could go there.
Wasn't somebody watching one of your videos while you were in that distillery and they happened to be drinking the same kind of whiskey?
No, I'm sure you told me that. No.
I'm sure you told me that. I'm not having this.
No.
Maybe I read it in the comments and you're just not keeping up with your comments.
Oh, maybe you're right, actually. Yes, I did actually see that in the comments section. Yes, a viewer was there and they saw me filming, I think, and walking around with the camera. So yes, you're right. Well done. Congratulations.
Good. Well done, everyone.
And also near the Nikka Whiskey Distillery, there is Aku Onsen, which is a really good, famous hot spring resort. The G8 or the G7 summit, I can't remember which one it is, G7, G8.
I keep adding them.
Summit was held there. So that's a really good hot spring resort.
In the Onsen? Just a lot of
in the onsen.
All the old fat politicians just sat in there.
Yeah,
sat in the hot
there would
springs.
Have been like George Osborne from the UK there. He was actually there. And all sorts of figures sat in a hot spring naked talking about economics.
Fair dues.
So, but it's those G7 aside, it is a really nice onsen hot spring resort. It is only about 30 minutes outside of Sendai, and I highly recommend there as well. Is there anywhere else in Sendai worth going? Yes, Matsushima Bay, one of the three iconic views of Japan. That's also about an hour outside of Sendai on the coastline, and it's a great place to try oysters, get a boat ride around the bay, explore some temples, and that's supposed to be a nice place.
Mm.
I think it's a little bit overrated, but also a really good day trip. So lots of things to do in Sendai there. Which thing would you like to see the most, Pete?
I do love a hot spring.
Can only pick one.
I do love a hot spring. I do love an onsen. I just think that that is the place for me. A nice, warm, but not hot bath. I'm loving it.
Right, so Akyu hot spring is for you.
That's where I'd be heading. And it's worth mentioning that the map that you've kind of put together, you've got little descriptions and everything for every part of the map that you're on. So it's well worth checking out in the description. Everything's down there for you. You don't even have to think about it. Chris has sorted it out for you.
I'm really nice. I'm like the nicest guy ever.
I know, right? For free.
You can quote me on that as well. No expense was spared on this map. I love writing the little descriptions, quirky little descriptions. And linking all the videos. So, from Sendai, we head north. And the next place is about an hour or two north of Sendai, 90 minutes north of Sendai. And it's called Hiraizumi. And it's right in the middle of the countryside, which is half its appeal. And I made a few videos there about 6 months ago. Hiraizumi is one of Japan's forgotten capitals. For a time, it was kind of... it was bigger than Kyoto, actually. They had 100,000 people there. It was the Kyoto of the north. And then the ruling family that lived there, I think they died or they moved and that all went down the pan. And now there's about 20,000 people living there. But it's a beautiful region. They've got some fantastic temples like Chusonji Temple and Motsuji Temple. But best of all, they've got go-karts.
Whoa!
A go-kart.
not like the go-karts that you see in Tokyo, the little Mario Karts going around and just bothering everyone. I presume this is in a slightly more reserved area.
I'm not going to lie, I don't like the Mario Kart go-kart thing in Tokyo. Just annoys me. Because you see it like 10 times a day if you're in somewhere.
Yeah, the first time you see it, you're like, oh, that is so cool, it's so Japan. And then 5 minutes later, it's happening again. And 5 minutes after that, it's happening again. And everyone's just waving and being idiots. Yeah. And I'm just bitter because I can't drive. Furious.
Even you could probably get in a go-kart, right?
I've checked. You need a driving license. But
do you really?
I've got like a provisional driving license. Are they really going to notice the word provisional?
I don't know, mate. That's a tough one.
It is, isn't it?
I don't actually think you do need a driver's license for it. But I could be wrong.
Maybe it's just
probably
that company
am wrong. Let's face it.
That's
a shame because that was gonna be something I wanted to show you because the. Driving through the countryside on a go-kart is just such a nice thing.
Yes, that would be cool,
In Tokyo, it'd be chaotic, going across many crossings and in between people and cars and things. Out there, when I did it with my friend, Ryotaro, it was just so relaxing, driving through rice fields, nobody in sight, or no cars in sight, people tending to the rice, fires burning.
Wonderful.
Not because there's just a fire, but because people... make fires on farms, and it's a lovely thing to do, so I really enjoyed that. And there's also a place called Geibike Gorge, which is beautiful, described as the most beautiful place in Tohoku. It's a gorge where you sit on a little raft and a guy punts you down the river with a stick, and you just sit there with this sort of the cool breeze coming through the gorge, the sound of birds, the kind of sound of the river below, and lots of ducks harass you for bread, which kind of takes some of the magic out of it. But it's a really beautiful thing. If you want to relax and unwind, everyone loves that. And then there's I don't know what else there is. But there's lots of stuff there. In terms of nature, it's good. And there's also a beautiful temple that's built into the rocks as well called Takoku no Iwaya. And it's one of my favourite temples. It's a temple that is literally carved into the side of a cliff. Apparently, in this cliff... there used to be some tribal folk, the old, it's not coming to mind, the people that used to live in Japan years ago, who were kind of forced out, the Ainu people, that's it. They lived in this cliff in a cave. And then some samurai turned up and went, how about no, and killed them all. And not only got them out of the cave, but built a temple in front of it to block their cave and not ever let them go in again. So it's a beautiful temple with a sinister undertone to it. I like it.
A sinister cave. Do you have access to the cave behind the cathedral / temple?
You don't. It's just been filled in with trinkets and like statues.
Cheeky samurai.
Real finger up to the people that live there. Mm. Anything there stand out? Anything?
Well, I want to go to a bloody temple that's, set into a mountain, for crying out loud. You don't see that sort of thing quite a lot. You see that sort of thing in like Greece and parts of Italy, but you don't see a lot of that in Japan, do you?
No, you don't. And again, you have to get there by go-kart. So I don't know if you can go there, to be honest. But you go by bicycle.
Yeah.
You can cycle alongside my go-kart. It'll be really fun.
Well, you've got a big plan to cycle Japan, haven't you? We'll probably talk about that in a later email show, because I think someone's done a little bit of cycling up and down Japan.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about that later. But yes, that would fit in nicely. So heading north from there, another 90 minutes to 2 hours, we come to Morioka City, the capital city of Iwate Prefecture. I think Iwate is the second biggest prefecture in Japan as well.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Right.
I might be wrong. It's either the second or third after Hokkaido. It's a huge prefecture, and it takes a lifetime to get through it, which is why this is quite a good journey, because there's lots of cool things dotted throughout it.
Mm.
Morioka City, what is there there? Well, lots of food. Whenever I go to Morioka, I can't even pronounce it. Whenever I go to Morioka, I tend to make a lot of food videos.
Mm.
And so my itinerary for Morioka basically just consists of food. Can you see anything on there, Pete?
I can see what we've got here. We've got the Wagyu Teppanyaki steak in Wakana.
Yes. Now, that's a special place in my heart. That was in a video. All these places actually are in videos. And that Teppanyaki Wagyu steak is not only the best Wagyu steak I've ever had. Teppanyaki, they cook it on a griddle kind of in front of you. You sit there, and a chef comes over, he chats to you, and then he puts down the Wagyu beef and he cooks it away for about 20 minutes. And it's just such a beautiful thing, watching him turn it over, cut it, prepare it, season it. And it's also the place where Natsuki came up with the phrase, justice delicious.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's how good it was. That's it, yeah.
The birthplace.
I'd love to take you there, actually.
Wakana forever.
I'd love to take you there.
does the Teppanyaki chef ever flip an egg into his hat? If not, not interested, mate.
He might do. This guy is very charismatic.
Okay.
I remember him being very talkative. And, yeah, no, it was a really awesome place. That's one of my favourite videos as well with Natsuki. We had a really nice romantic dinner there.
Aww.
So I highly recommend that. If you're into your Wagyu beef, that's one of my favourite places. No, it is my favourite. That is my best experience, I'd say, many, many times I've consumed beef. That's the number one. And it's a cut of Maizawa gyu. So all cuts of Wagyu come from different regions. Wagyu, Japanese beef. Maizawa comes from Iwate.
Beautiful.
And so, yes, best cut. Also, there's lots of noodles. That is where the Wankosoba noodle challenge is as well.
Oh, God, so many noodles. That's like the 100 balls of noodles or something.
Yes.
Too much.
I think you should try that.
No,
you should do it. Yes. You've got to do it. If you come, that's the one thing I want to take you to do.
When you talk about the decadence of the West, like, I mean, that is about as... well, to be honest, it's not that decadent because it's just noodles, but just too many noodles. I can only do one bowl of noodles and I'm done. Can't do 100. That's crazy.
Yeah, but they're little bowls. You're
little
shot
blighters.
Noodles.
They're just little blighters.
You get to shot them. That's fun. A woman says, woman comes out with a tray. You sit face to face with your opponent. Woman comes out with a tray of, like, 30 bowls, and then she kind of quickly tips it into your bowl. You have to, like, shot it or eat it, and you just keep going. And when you want to stop, you have to cover your bowl with some sort of lid, and it can be quite difficult to do.
Because you're off your head on noodles, that's why.
Well, you're off your head on noodles, but they're bloody fast.
Mm.
Like, you're trying to... I remember one time I was trying to put the lid on, and she just sort of rushed in and poured the next noodles in, and while I was eating those, in came the next one. So it's very competitive, very fast-paced, but very fun. It's the coolest food challenge in Japan, for my money. Way better than the bloody gyoza challenge and the ramen challenge that we did.
And your hands will get burned by noodles as you try and put the lid back on. Fantastic.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Justice Delicious.
Wow.
So that's a cool place. And then there's Jar Jar Men, which is another kind of noodles, which sound like an infamous Star Wars character we'd rather forget.
Mm. Or the Baha Men who sang Who Let the Dogs Out.
That's a... Yes. Now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head all day.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Men. Noodles where you have this miso sauce on top. The best way to describe it is, it looks a bit weird, but it tastes like spaghetti bolognese.
Oh.
But with the absence of meat. Yeah.
Meaty.
That's quite nice. And then there's Rayman, which is, it reminds me of the PlayStation character Rayman.
Rayman was like, Rayman was a French creation that had no wrists or legs, but he
I remember
managed,
it vividly.
He
I remember
managed
being,
to have like shoes and gloves. It's weird.
I remember being kind of creeped out by Rayman. I don't know why.
Like
something about someone having no wrists didn't settle well. Always
his wandering floating hands, very strange.
Yes.
Mm.
But this actually does is not as scary as Rayman. It is a Korean dish, actually. It's cold noodles with kimchi in, which doesn't... I don't know if that sounds good or not. I didn't particularly like it, but it's got to be tried. It's one of the three noodles of Morioka. So Morioka is actually famous for its three noodle dishes.
Right, okay.
Mango soba, Jar Jar Men, and Ramen. Jar Jar Men is worth trying. It's the best taste. Mango soba noodles is the funnest, and Ramen is just not even worth bothering with. So ignore that. It's not even on my itinerary. So.
Okay.
Finger up there to Raymond. So which of those sounds the most appealing to you?
Well, obviously,
and I know what you're going to say.
Well, I'm going to say a steak, but I think the Raymond noodles sound quite interesting, because I have had kind of like cold noodles with quite spicy stuff on it, like Korean style or Chinese style, and as long as like there's enough oil in there, it kind of works.
I don't think this one does, but yeah, we'll if we do go there, we could do both Wanko Soba and Maizao Wagyu. Especially as I owe you, don't I? I said I'd give you some Wagyu beef if you if you convince Brian Cranston.
Oh, that's
to do a
right.
Shout
yes.
Out.
Well, there we go.
So I owe you some Wagyu beef. So heading north from there, I'm zooming out on the map because it's so big and I don't know where I'm going. All right, next city. Now we're in Aomori, about another hour and a half to 2 hours north of there. It's Hachinohe in Aomori. I think it's the second or third. Second largest city in Aomori Prefecture.
Yeah.
And Aomori is at the top, the sort of top bit of Honshu. It's the most northern prefecture of Honshu Island. And Hachinohe is a really cool city. First time I went there, I didn't know what there was, and I was really bored. Mm. And since then, since 2 years ago, I've been back there like three or four times. And now it's actually such a cool place. There's so many fantastic things. And top of my list is Japan's biggest morning market.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen that video, but I put it out about a year ago, and it's a market with about 300 stalls. You have to get up quite early. The best time to get there is about 5 or 6 a.m.
Jeez.
And it lasts around till 10 a.m., I'm going to say. I was a wreck when I went there. I'd only slept 3 hours because I was with Ryotaro. We're making a video there. and son of a bitch snores. He just doesn't stop snoring. So I couldn't sleep, got to the morning market, and I was suddenly some energy came from somewhere, and I had a right blast. I think it's because it's a very dynamic market, lots of people there at 6 a.m. You've got stalls for everything from beautiful fresh coffee to fried chicken being made en masse and people queuing for fried chicken. There was a guy playing a guitar and some people dancing around. It felt like it could have been 3 p.m. in the afternoon in most other countries, and yet only 6 a.m.
And I seem to recall there was a fancy Apple vending machine.
Yes, yes, that was actually a cool place, a cool inn, not far from there, because apples are the famous food of Aylmore. Apples are everywhere. Too many apples. But yeah, biggest morning market, top of your list if you go to Hachinohe. Only thing is, it's only on Sundays, and it's not on in winter. So bear that in mind. In winter, it's too damn cold up there.
How do they make their money? It's only on for 4 hours
I
a day.
I don't know.
It's only on Sundays. What are they playing at? What's going on there?
I know, right? But yeah, best thing in Hachinohe. Other things in Hachinohe. I filmed a nightlife video there last autumn with Ryotaro. That's where we filmed our Japanese nightlife video. Mm. And they've got a really cool little load of alleyways littered with tiny restaurants and bars where you can have the owners basically there, just the owner, with a counter wrapped around them and about five or six customers. And it's just a fantastic atmosphere. So kind of, I don't know, in the winter it's really nice to be in there because it's so warm. You open the door and you're in, it's really warm and cosy.
Oh, yes.
But it's a great place to sit, drink and enjoy the nightlife of Japan and Hachinohe. So that's probably second on my list for Hachinohe.
I think that's
I know you'd like it there.
I think that's a similar sort of situation that you took me to in Hakata, where it's just like very small, little kind of pods, I suppose, isn't it? With like little kind of plastic sheets for doors,
that's right.
And you sort of you just pop in.
How would you describe it?
It's like an updated. If you've ever been to Golden Guy, basically, like that's the size of it, basically. But they're like more cool and more. New and a little bit more open. It feels like more of a food market rather than a stinky old bar.
Yeah, it's nice because the owners specialise in one thing. The one I took you to in Sakata, we went to a yakitori skewered meat place. Didn't
That's
we?
Right.
That was quite cool.
That
was cozy. Wasn't it? Didn't it rain really hard as well? I have a memory of
it rained like
suddenly.
It rained like crazy. And like the thing about Japan is like you really don't see rain like that. And it rains and rains and rains and then it stops and it's fine and then it starts again. It's just incredibly heavy. And I'd never really seen rain like it, to be honest.
It was very abrupt. I remember. It went from being a nice, clear day to all of a sudden just this heaviest rain I've ever seen. And people were sitting outside, just outside the little stalls and things. And we had to sort of rush inside and close the doors and bring all the tables and chairs in. Yeah.
Hopefully
that won't happen.
No, I'm sure it won't. But I mean, it was the first time I'd ever seen anybody smoke those IQOS things. They're like a kind of cross between a vape and a cigarette. You actually put the cigarette into the things, and your mate had one of those, and I was fascinated by the fact that pretty much everyone in Japan doesn't vape. They just use these kind of IQOS in-between kind of things. Yeah, electronic cigarettes, but it's actually a cigarette that you actually burn. You actually don't burn it. You heat it very quickly, so it comes to this sort of steam sort of thing. Fascinating little device.
And yet it smelled awful. It smelled like burning tyres or
don't,
something.
Don't smoke, kids. Don't smoke. I would like to introduce our new sponsor, IQOS.
Actually, I've not seen many people use them anymore. I think the fad has kind of died off. It was just last year.
Oh, well, never mind.
My friend that was using it, he's quit smoking altogether now. So I think a lot of people see it as a way out of smoking.
Oh, so maybe it wasn't a good device then.
Has backfired, yes, put people off. So just on the outskirts of Hachinohe, two other things of interest. Number one is the tomb of Jesus Christ.
What?
Because Jesus definitely died in Aomori.
That's a big shout, isn't it?
I made a video there about 2 years ago. And I've been wanting to go up there for years. I'd known about it for like 5 years. But it's so kind of remote and out of the way up north. If you're not doing anything up there, I couldn't go. And we got there and it's just a mound on a hill overlooking some rice fields with a gigantic wooden cross that's genuinely impressive in size and scale. There's like a little tablet from Israel, no less, saying this is a symbol of friendship to the region of Aomori or something, which kind of I don't think it lends it any credibility, but it sort of makes it all more impressive. And then they've got the story of Jesus and how he ended up in Aomori, and how he escaped Jerusalem, he escaped being murdered,
right,
by travelling to Japan and living out his days in a rice field in Aomori. I don't know if it's worth going there. I can't work out if it is or not. Probably just for a laugh.
Yeah, but I don't remember that bit of the Bible, but I mean, I did go to Catholic school. I don't remember being taught that little bit, but everyone's got their own little version and interpretation, haven't they?
Well, they said that his brother Iskidi, or something, Eskidi, took his place on the cross, and Jesus said, "Thanks, Eskidi," and then fucked off to North Japan.
Cheers, mate.
So his brother sacrificed himself. Yeah. You wouldn't have read about that bit in the Bible.
No, when God says, "I gave you my only son," maybe he was being slightly facetious because he's got a brother. Yeah, there you go.
It's all rather weird. It's funny though. As I stood there, I thought, "This is. Imagine if he did die here." This idea came into my head. Imagine if he did. How weird would that be? How just and that for that reason alone, it's definitely worth going there. Just for that feeling of what if.
What?
I mean, it's definitely bullshit. But what if he did? You know,
he was off for the morning market. He's like, "I gotta get this morning market. I can't.
Apparently,
leave
he's actually
earth.
A real person though."
Yeah.
And I think it might be an English teacher from a few decades ago who the locals really liked, and he was probably like, "Yeah, I'm Dave, but you could call me Jesus." And they went, "Yes." Just down the road from there is a town which is famous for having the best horse meat in all Japan, called Gonohe. It's completely random. Imagine that. One in the morning, you go off and see Jesus' tomb. In the afternoon, go off and eat a horse.
Jesus rode a donkey to town, and then we ate him.
They love it.
Yeah.
This town, Gonohe, used to be famous for raising horses for samurai.
Right.
And after the samurai kind of weren't a thing anymore, they were like, "Wait a minute, what are we going to do for business now?" And they realised they could turn horses into food. So I made a video about that. It didn't go down too well. Lots of people that like horses were outraged and shocked and disturbed. And yet, actually tastes quite good. Really nice.
Yeah, I had horse meat in Japan before. It's very nice. It's surprisingly light.
Well, was
it's
quite
it raw? A light dish. Say again?
Was it raw horse meat?
Yeah,
like
sashimi, yeah.
Ah, right. See, basashi's all right, but this is actually cooked on a barbecue, on a little griddle.
Mm.
And it's a lot better cooked than it is raw, I can tell you now. Like, I ate it, and Ryotaro and I, we made a video about it, Ryotaro and I decided that it actually tastes better than normal beef.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's got a more succulent, juicy flavour. So if you're into your meat, or you want to be a bit more adventurous in the culinary sense, then pop into there. And that's Hachinohe in all its glory. What do you want to go and do?
I want to see this Jesus. I want to see this Jesus.
Jesus it is.
Jesus.
We'll go and see Jesus. And then, 2 hours north, we venture once more to the city of Aomori, the capital city of Aomori Prefecture, in Aomori Bay. I don't know what there really is in Aomori. That's a problem. When I went there, I did some stuff on food. I made a video called 5 or 6 Things to Eat in Aomori.
Yeah.
And there are some cool dishes there. There are some cool dishes. So the only two things I've got for Aomori City are Nokedon, which is a kind of make-your-own fish bowl. Make-your-own fish bowl. What it is you go into a fish market.
Right.
It's a really nice little fish market. And you get this book of tokens. Each token's worth, like, a portion of fish. And you get your rice bowl, just your bed of rice. And you go around, and there's about 20 shopkeepers dotted around, all waiting for you to walk past. And they're all selling different things, like someone's selling mackerel, someone's selling tuna, someone's selling squid.
Oh, yeah.
And you sample their wares, sample their fish, and then give them a token. And then they get the, you know, they'll take the fish and just put it on your rice. Which sounds like some sort of a weird analogy. But it's really quite a cool way of experiencing a fish market. Because usually fish markets, you just sort of wander around and go, "Oh, look, it's fish." But here you actually kind of interact with the people. You get to talk to the people that sell the fish. You get to buy it with these tokens. And by the end, you've exchanged 6 or 7 tokens. You've got your bowl of nice, fresh fish straight out of the Tsugaru Strait, and you can just sit there and eat your own fish bowl, customised the way you want it. So it's actually really cool fish market. Really clever way of making business there.
A little bit of rice, a little bit of fish. What a way to start a day, I tell you what.
It's incredible how all these different fish markets, that's the only one I've been to that's had the foresight to actually make it good. Actually, like, make it into a decent attraction in itself.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much, does it? Because obviously it's a place of business. People are just, you know, Japan has an unending lust, a need for fish. So they need to get fish out of the CCC and then to people's homes and to restaurants and stuff. So it is important to keep things moving. But if you're a bit of an attraction, I mean, a little room where they have a load of people giving you a bit of fish is a beautiful little touch, lovely touch.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you like fish?
I do like fish a lot, actually. I am definitely not just going to be eating crap all the time. I would just sort of wake up and I'd go to the 7-Eleven, eat a pork bun, or I'd eat like some fried chicken. I'm going to eat a lot more fish this time. I think
there needs to be a no fried chicken rule.
No fried chicken.
Next trip to Japan. God forbid.
Yeah.
There's only one other place in Aomori on my itinerary that I visited, and it's a little ramen shop that does the weirdest variation of ramen I've ever had, and yet it's strangely it works, and it's called curry milk ramen.
Ooh.
So it's ramen, miso ramen, with a bit of curry in it and a bit of milk, and it looks yellow, which doesn't look the most appealing colour at first. I've put it in the video, you can check it out in the video, things to eat in Aomori, and yet it somehow it works. The flavour of the curry, the sort of spiciness of the curry soup is negated by the milk in there as well. So it kind of, I don't know, it works. I don't know if it sounds appealing. Does it sound appealing?
Yeah, I think most of my favourite Indian dishes are very creamy. So, yeah, curry milk, I'm for it. I do not support.
They say it was influenced, they say the owner moved over from Hokkaido. And in Hokkaido, miso ramen's famous. And you also put dairy products such as butter in your ramen in Hokkaido. I'll get on that in a minute because we're going there on this trip. But yeah, so he kind of took that influence. Don't know where the curry came from, though. Don't know where that came from. He probably just spilt some sauce in there and thought, wait a minute, this
bit of spice, mate. There's a ramen restaurant around the corner from me, and they put peanut butter in their ramen, which kind of works, though it's a little bit heavy.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound overly glamorous.
No.
peanut butter. Peanut butter, that can't work.
Well,
it can't work, can it?
It kind of does, because ramen, you occasionally get like kind of chopped up peanuts and stuff, certainly in like the London variants of it. So like, it just gives a bit of creaminess to the ramen, and yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too shoddy. Not the worst idea in the world. Yeah,
ramen amazes me. There's so many things you can do with it. Like, I went to one of the ramen capitals of Japan, and it's a little town, but they've got like 200 ramen shops or something ridiculous. And it's amazing how they change all the different flavours and just change it just a little bit and give their own ramen some sort of identity. It's very malleable. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so.
It's very adaptable,
very changeable
dish, isn't it?
Yeah. There used to be an advert for Bird's Eye Potato Waffles in England, and it was Bird's Eye Potato Waffles. They're waffly versatile. So ramen, waffly versatile.
Waffly versatile. From Aomori, you can just catch the bullet train to Hakodate in Hokkaido. But there's one more town that I think there's worth checking out, and that's called Hirosaki.
Mm.
I think it's the third biggest city in Aomori, and it's a really nice city. I've been there two or three times. It was actually near where I was the time the North Korean missile went over. I suppose that's the not-so-good thing about it, is North Korean missiles go over there. Although now, North Korea's a great, happy, brilliant country, according to the news. Peace in our time.
Peace in our time. Donaldson. Still executing dissidents with aircraft weaponry, but what are you going to do? It'll be fine, we're all friends
now. It's
awkward.
It's awkward, because I've got this video called How Worried Should You Be About North Korea? A very ominous-sounding video I put out in September or October last year, after the North Korean missile thing. And now I'm feeling like I want to unlist that, because in it I was like, there'll probably be a war in 6 months. And it's gone completely opposite way, thankfully.
I think you were pretty level-headed about the whole affair, personally.
Maybe at the time, yeah. But I don't think you'll get blown up by North Korean missiles in Hirosaki. There's some lovely stuff there. First of all, there's a Starbucks that doesn't look like a Starbucks. Is that worth checking out? I don't know. But basically, it's a Starbucks that doesn't look like a Starbucks. It's in a very old-fashioned building, and it looks nice. I don't think it's worth going to Hirosaki for that alone, but it's certainly worth dropping in for that. But out the front of Starbucks, there is a guy who walks his pet tortoise every day.
Exactly.
And that's worth sitting out the front of Starbucks for alone.
You put on your tortoise map, Tortoise Man, and I don't care how quirky this building is, I'd want to see Tortoise Man, a man walking a tortoise. I seem to recall seeing that on in one of your videos, just a dude walking his tortoise about. Hopefully, the man and the tortoise are still with us. I imagine the tortoise certainly is, because they live forever. But, yeah.
It's probably outlived the owner.
I know.
It's probably then just a tortoise running
then,
a house.
Then the tortoise could walk the corpse of the man, just drag him through the streets like a
this
horrible...
This is getting very sinister and unpleasant. Actually, there's not a lot of my itinerary for Hirosaki, for all the amount that I've just bigged it up. There's a nice park, there's a great castle, there's a fantastic memorial garden for an entrepreneur called Mr. Fujita. And he took all his money that he made in Tokyo and built this fantastic garden that's one of the biggest in all of North Japan. And you can sit in the garden and eat apple curry, which is a thing. Again, apples, famous food of Aomori. You can drink cider as well in Hirosaki. It's
from
one
the
of
apples.
The good few places where you can get cider.
I'm up for that.
But it's a nice little detour. It's a nice little detour. And just north of that, there's a town called Goshogawara, which is famous for having a fantastic festival with the tallest floats in Japan. If you've never seen them in one of my videos, I featured it in two or three videos, I think. Tachinepita floats. They're like 25 metres tall. These floats, they're made out of paper mache. They're absolutely terrifying. Like, if you Google it, look it up. Tachinepita. They're so scary. They've got these very... They're kind of like these figures from Japanese folklore. They're very serious. They've got swords and they're gigantic. And... best of all, they're housed in a building that the sort of building that you'd find at NASA. Like, you know the building in NASA where the space shuttle's built, used to be built? And then the sort of building opens up and the shuttle comes out. It's the same for this, because they're so damn tall. They're housed in this really high building, and then the entire side of the building opens up, and these big figures come out every year for the festivals. So that's worth looking at if you're into your Japanese festivals. I've never been to it. I'd love to go. I think it's in August, but I've never made it. But it's a nice little detour again, and they are incredible. They're an incredible sight.
I sort of think, who's making money out of that? Like, how have they got the funds to create these amazing characters? Who is requisitioning part of council funds to make these incredible characters? I'm for it. That's why I go to Japan all the time. But I just always worry for the future of it. I do kill the fun. I just worry about the future of these places.
Let's all have fun all year, but what about money? Oh, there's always one.
Oh, no. You're right.
Apparently, these in the early 1900s, somebody built these figures. The whole town came together and built these floats. And then there was a big fire, and all the designs were lost sometime around World War II. And then in the 1990s, they rediscovered the plans and the pictures. And the locals have forgotten about it. It was like discovering fossils or something, even though it had only been from 100 years before. And they all came together, and they built one, and
that's
it was a
so
hit,
cool.
And they started doing it every year again. The mayor, apparently the mayor found the funds to do it. And even more impressively, the entire town's electricity supply had to be buried at great expense, because these figures couldn't go around the town, because they would just cut down all the electric cables, because obviously they overhang in Japan.
Yeah.
They're overhead, aren't they? So they spent like millions covering all these cables up just for these floats. But it's been good for the local economy, because all the tourists come in and check out the floats. And, so it pays off. There you go.
And they buried a lot of electrics. One of the few places in Japan
Happy
that doesn't have electrics kind of zigzagging the sky.
Yes. I'd love to go. It's the one festival in Japan I'd like to see. That and the penis festival. Right. Moving on. We catch the train over to Hokkaido, into Hakodate. We're now in Hokkaido, and I'd say you've got 5 days here. Then start in Hakodate.
Yeah.
In Hakodate, you've got, again, another good old morning market. By this point, if you've done all the morning markets, you'll have seen at least three. It's the one in Hakodate is famous for its seafood, because it's just got lots of good seafood. Don't know. It's famous for its crabs. There's a lot of crabs. If you like crabs... It's the home of crab.
Okay.
It's Hakodate, famous for it. So you've got to try crab. And it is delicious, and it is worth doing. You've got the Hakodate Ropeway, which is regarded as one of the best views in Japan of a city at night. Unfortunately, I went up the ropeway. I went up Mount Hakodate during the day, and I didn't get that famous view. Should have gone up at night. Don't know what I was thinking, really. Idiot.
You were busy.
And then there's the embassy, the former British embassy is there, and lots of... buildings from the 20th century. Lots of European powers turned up. Interesting thing about Hakodate is It was one of the first cities in Japan to actually open to the West in the 1850s or 1860s. And so all these European powers rocked up and started building churches and embassies. So as around the port area in Hakodate, it's like not being in Japan. It's like walking into another place. It's very bizarre.
It's
all
a little
the architecture's
bit like,
completely off.
Is it a little bit like, I'm trying to think, like Shanghai sort of thing, where there's a big French contingent sort of thing? I guess like Sapporo and Hokkaido itself, I guess, is probably one of the earliest places to kind of get contact, presumably, from the, what you would call the West, because they would have come through. Would they have come through Russia? I don't really know, to be honest. Probably after China.
They came through Hakodate, and then they would have pushed up into Sapporo. Mm. So I didn't get as much time there as I'd have liked. 2 or 3 days is enough, I think.
Mm. Okay.
And then from Hakodate, head up onto Sapporo. But in between there's Hell's Valley, Noboribetsu Hell's Valley.
Oh, my God.
One of the three big hot spring towns of Japan. There's a geyser there that pours out, like, 20,000 litres of water every minute or something absurd. And you kind of turn the corner, and there's just this mountain of steam rising up, like a volcano, but at ground level. It's quite a sight, and I'd actually recommend going there. Fantastic resort. You can sit there and just relax and unwind. Have you been to anywhere like that before in Japan?
No, I've been to the geysers in Iceland. Jesus. The old springs and that, but yeah, no, I've never seen anything like that in Japan. To be honest, that's the thing about Japan. There's so much variety. There's so much.
Yeah, and there's morning markets. There's more morning markets, and then finally, onto Sapporo, and in Sapporo you've got all sorts of stuff, and I've got a list here. This is all in videos as well, guys. I would recommend having a look through some videos. I made a video called 48 Hours in Sapporo. With good old Natsuki, we were there. It was actually a lie. We were there 72 hours, but I thought 48 hours sounds more romantic, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you reckon? Same with my 48 hours in Hokkaido. That was a lie as well. We were there about 5 days. So all my videos are just a pack of lies. But in Sapporo, you've got Sapporo Beer Museum, where Sapporo Beer, my favourite brand of beer, was born. I don't know if you'll agree with me on that, Pete, but for me, Sapporo beer's the best. Better than Asahi and Kirin. It's just got a kind of richer flavour to it, I find.
I'm a big fan of Kirin Ichiban, but yeah, Sapporo I will take as a second. I did briefly go to Sapporo for like one, maybe two nights. I remember not particularly dressing for the weather. I had to go to Uniqlo to buy some thermal underwear because it was very cold.
Oh, it was winter, was it?
Yeah, it was. I think it might have been sort of October time, sort of Halloween time. We climbed Mount Moya. Moiwa. Did we climb it? We didn't. We got a taxi up the most of the way because the...
Isn't there a ropeway or something?
There is a ropeway. There is a
tram
big,
or something.
Yeah, but it was too windy, so they closed it down. So we had to get a taxi up there, which was quite rather upsetting. More upsetting because once we'd finished doing what we had to do on the mountain, like as in look across a beautiful view, we realised that we couldn't get back down. We had to ask the lady to ring us a taxi, which is quite edifying.
Pete's Sapporo adventure.
I know.
Anything else you recommend?
There's a nice batting cage. If you want to do some baseball hitting, you can go to the batting cage and whack some baseballs around.
You can do that anywhere in Japan.
I know you can do that anywhere, but it was a particularly good one, and I hurt my hands doing it because we're not a nation of baseballers. I tell you what,
we're certainly not. I still don't understand the sport at all.
No,
even though I'm surrounded by it, given it's the most popular sport in Japan. But I mean, other things in Sapporo worth doing. You've got to try Genghis Khan. Which isn't a Mongolian dictator, but a fantastic lamb mutton dish.
Ooh.
Lamb mutton barbecue.
Don't see a
you
lot of lamb.
You sit there with your little... Yeah, well, it's quite rare. Mm. You get lamb mutton in Iwate and in Hokkaido. Those are the two places I think it's famous. Mm. And I don't know, apparently they call it Genghis Khan because they thought sheep came from Mongolia. Or something ridiculous. I can't remember the exact story, but something to that effect.
Or it's incredibly cruel to kill a lamb.
I thought Genghis Khan equals lambs. Equals lamb. So, yes. You've got to try that. Genghis Khan. There's a nice place I've put on the map here. And also ramen. Miso ramen is the most popular type of ramen in Hokkaido.
Right.
And you've got to have some dairy foods in it, like butter. Or it's good to have some corn. as well, quite nice. Famous in Hokkaido.
Okay.
And lastly, in Sapporo, I would say go to the Koibito Cookie Factory, which is a confectionery wonderland. It's a theme park where Koibito cookies are made. You get to see the cookies being made, and it's a fantastic place. It's like Willy Wonka meets Japan. That's the best way I can describe it.
Okay.
Japanese Willy Wonka. Yeah. And then from there, just hop on a plane back to Tokyo. Job done. You've done the diamond route. Congratulations and well done.
I mean,
that's an adventure.
That's quite a journey, isn't it? We've seen cats.
I think it's quite an adventurous journey, yeah.
We've seen restaurants, the Tomb of Christ, for crying out loud. We've had Wagyu beef. We've had a fox village. Fantastic. Well, as I said, you don't have to just take Chris's word for it or my word for it. More Chris's word for it. Let's make that very clear. Just click on the link in the description for this podcast, and you can check
box.
Out and you can check out the map itself, and it's all mapped out there. There's links to videos, there's descriptions and things like that, with more kind of detail than we could put in the podcast. And it's a lovely bit of work, Chris. You've spent some time, and you know what? It will pay off because people will enjoy this diamond route.
And they'll look at my videos, and views equals ad revenue. Ha-ha, cynical.
Damn it.
No, it's a nice way of recycling my videos. Often you make a video and 2 years later nobody watches it, so hopefully you'll see it, you'll want to go somewhere, and it'll be good. But I reckon the route will take about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anything less than 2 weeks and you'll be rushing it, to be honest.
Definitely.
So yes, 2 weeks. In terms of prices, I don't know that. You'd have to work that out yourself. But I recommend getting a JR Rail Pass. This route bears that in mind. You can do all the places more or less on this route without a car. So yes, that's all for now, folks, though.
Do the
diamond route, come again, and next week, we have no time for questions this week, but next week we're going to do 21 questions sent in by you guys, and hopefully that'll make you happy.
We'll try and get through 21, but I mean, we might not manage it. We'll have to rush through
a few. We'll do our best.
We'll do our very best. We'll see you next week. If you do want to get to us with the show, how do people do that though, Chris?
AbroadJapanPodcast@gmail.com.
It's as simple and as unalloyed as that.
It's as simple as that.
Darn it. Well, I'll speak to you next week, Chris, and you'll speak to me, and we'll speak to the listeners.
Farewell. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
No matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
We're both allergic to cats.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.